Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, my partner Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop us your texts, your voicemails, anything you got for us. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. We'll get there in a second. Instagram as well, at Locked On Bulls. Again, any of your questions, any of your voicemails, you've got frustration, you've got anxiety, you're depressed. Anything you got about this Chicago Bulls team or the NBA, hit us up at 331-979-1369. Matt Peck is out. Actually, before I kind of dive into this, you'll notice that this episode is very, very quick. Matt and I decided to record a separate episode yesterday. Didn't exactly plan for the Lakers to come back on a 29-4 run and beat the Bulls last night in an epically disastrous fashion. But Matt and I went through a bunch of texts and voicemails. We did that yesterday, though, so this will follow this episode. But I wanted to put something out quickly talking about and recapping last night's game because it was absolutely trash. Absolutely pathetic by the Bulls. So you'll have that in your inbox shortly after this episode. So hopefully you get a chance to listen to this before we watch Hawks and Bulls tonight again. And then maybe listen to that mailbag episode while the Bulls game is going on. So again, Jordan Malley here, giving you guys kind of a breakdown of last night's game. First three quarters were fun. I guess the third quarter wasn't as fun, but the first and the second quarter were great. The Bulls looked fantastic. The Lakers looked all out of control. The Bulls offense looked like it went from 0 to 100. Looked like that kick in the ass from the Pacers game on Sunday did them some good. The Bulls were up 19 points at one point in this game. 19 points. They had a 13-point lead going into the fourth quarter. And then all hell breaks loose. I had mentioned it just a minute ago. The Lakers went on a 29-4 run in the fourth quarter. They opened the quarter 29-4 run. Two separate different runs. A 16-0 run and then a 14-0 run. Jim Boylan, while sits there and lets the second unit stay in the game. Doesn't sub the starters in for the first 4.5 minutes of the game. First 4.5 minutes of that fourth quarter. Absolutely pathetic. Shot after shot after shot. Mistake after mistake after mistake. You know, this was a huge problem for this Bulls team last year. Anytime an opponent went on a mini run, the Bulls all of a sudden were like, shit, what do we do? Not only Jim Boylan, but all the players too shit themselves. They're like, oh crap, another run. How do we stop this? We can't stop this. They start forcing things. They feel the pressure. And things like this happen. This happened under Fred Hoiberg too. Coming out of third quarters really flat. Letting teams go on extended runs like this. The Bulls haven't made any changes. Where's the Bulls team that we were supposed to see this year that was able to actually close out games? Where's the team that was supposed to stop runs like this? You know, Jim Boylan, you just let your second unit out there in the fourth quarter last night not bleed out. You let them die from a thousand different paper cuts. I don't understand this. I honestly don't understand this. And Jim Boylan's reasoning for the at the end of the game was even more bizarre. Listen to Jim Boylan talk about last night's loss and why he decided to stay with the starters.
Again, would you bring the starters back a little sooner?
Nope.
Why is that?
Because I'm going to develop this bench. I'm going to develop this team. I got 15 guys to develop, and I'm going to play them in those moments, and they're going to learn how to play winning basketball. I've never yanked guys. I've never done that. You know, I'm not doing that. So we're going to develop that second group, and we're going to have a bench here in Chicago, and I'm going to keep coaching it.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Can somebody explain to me how that makes any sense? So you go from wanting to win games, telling us not even, actually a little over a month ago, the president of basketball operations told us that there is no reason, if this team is fully healthy, that they shouldn't be contending and using playoffs as the goal. So why are you trying to develop your bench in a fourth quarter that you are winning against one of the best teams in the West? The Lakers are 6-1. It's not like you're playing the shit Knicks where you can pull off a win, and hell, the Bulls can't even pull off a win against the damn Knicks. So explain to me what we're doing here. What are we doing here? Are we taking another year of the rebuild? And are we just going to tank this thing out? And are we developing? Or are you trying to win games, Jim Boylan? Because this weekend would tell me that you're trying to win games by keeping Thaddeus Young in the game as opposed to putting Lauri Markkanen in back-to-back games, especially in the closing stretch. But now all of a sudden that flips? And now we're trying to develop our second unit to learn how to win? Why do you have your second unit out closing games? Who does that? Who does that? I understand you're trying to get your all 15 of your guys to play winning basketball. I understand that. But when it comes to crunch time and you're trying to win a game, you're not asking Luke Kornet and Kobe White and Chris Dunn and Chandler Hutchison to win you a game. No, you're asking Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine and Wendell Carter Jr. to win you that game. It blows my mind that Jim Boylan gives that. And not only that, too, you had a couple timeouts in your pocket. Why didn't you stop the bleeding? For 7 minutes and 41 seconds, the Lakers put up 29 points while you scored four. And you decided not to call a timeout during that first run of 16-0? LeBron James wasn't even on the floor. You are letting dudes like Quinn Cook absolutely destroy you. You're letting Dwight Howard destroy you. And then, of course, Anthony Davis comes in at the back half of the fourth quarter and pretty much seals the deal. LeBron didn't have to do much of anything in this one. In this fourth quarter, he didn't have to do much of anything. LeBron had 2 points and 5 assists in 7.5 minutes in that fourth quarter. 1 rebound. What are we doing? You let Kyle Kuzma go 5 for 7 from the field. You let Quinn Cook hit 2 threes. You let 2 dudes coming off the bench beat you. And you want your second unit to close out games? Are you kidding me? It makes no sense. I don't know what Jim Boylan's doing. Couple other things, too. Not just to rip on completely on Jim Boylan in this. you know, some of these guys on this team need to step up. And I think a lot of them need to start listening to what Wendell Carter Jr. has to say, because he clearly gets it. Him, Thaddeus Young, Otto Porter Jr. seem like the only dudes who get it. This team's not a playoff team. Not even close. Not even freaking close. But Zach LaVine again. 4 or 5 minutes left in the quarter. Going down the stretch, forcing shots up at the basket. Guys not getting open at all. Terrible turnovers. The Bulls look totally discombobulated. Otto Porter and Zach LaVine in that second half went 8 for 15 from the field, shot 53% and scored 22 points. The seven other players on the Bulls team in that second half combined for 25 points on 10 of 24 shooting. Seven guys, 25 points. Otto and Zach, 22 points. Bulls only scored 47 points in the second half. That's pathetic. The Lakers were 8 points off of that for just for the fourth quarter. To expect to come into a second half, even if you have a lead like the Bulls did at 19 at one point, to score only 47 points in a quarter is pathetic. It's pathetic for a team that told us, and we felt good about having a team that had multiple offensive weapons, that they felt like three or four guys at one time on the floor could shoot the ball with confidence and consistency. And we haven't seen any of that. I don't know what's up with Lauri Markkanen either. I have no idea what's going on with him. I don't know if Jim Boylan's completely broken him. But again, I go back to one of our callers from this weekend, one of our texters, the only person that doesn't know Lauri Markkanen's true potential and doesn't know Lauri Markkanen is good at basketball is Lauri Markkanen at this point. I feel like his confidence is at an all-time low. Not only the defensive effort, but nobody gets him involved on the offensive side of the ball. This free-flowing offense, and I thought it was a good point brought up, this free-flowing offense is not set to run through Lauri Markkanen on his own. He doesn't seem like at this point in his career, he feels confident enough to scream and yell and call for the ball and be able to create his own shot as good as maybe Zach LaVine can or as Otto Porter can. But do we trust Jim Boylan to be able to actually run set plays for Lauri Markkanen and get him cooking? Obviously not. I told you all to be aware of this. When we watched preseason games, we go 4, 5, 6 minute stretches and Lauri Markkanen be on the floor and you would have no idea he's even out there. Doesn't touch the ball at all. Doesn't grab any rebounds. Doesn't have his teammates get him involved at all. It's pathetic. So I don't know if it's a combination of losing confidence in yourself and also having a coach who has no idea how the hell to develop you and put you in spots to succeed. Is pathetic, but again, if this is going to be the issue all season long, I have absolutely no idea. This is something I've complained about since day one of the rebuild. The Bulls make no adjustments coming into second halves. Fred Hoiberg didn't. Fred Hoiberg, that first year of the rebuild, had one of the worst ratings in third quarters. Offense and defensive ratings, one of the worst. When he got fired and Jim Boylan took over, it was the same damn thing. No adjustments in the third quarter, no adjustments in the fourth quarter, couldn't hold a lead. It reminds me of a Charlotte game last year where they came out and shot a bunch of threes in the first half. Bulls played really, really good perimeter defense. The Bulls held a lead. I think it was like 12 or 15. Turned around, Charlotte realized, hey, we're not making any threes right now. Let's go to the basket. Sure enough, they did, and they started having success. And then what did they do in that fourth quarter when the Bulls let their guard down, realized that they made some switches, went back to the three and started making those? Good teams make adjustments throughout the game. Jim Boylan seems like he doesn't do that. And these players aren't experienced enough, and frankly, they're not good enough to be able to do that on their own. That's what the coach is there for, help with adjustments. And Jim Boylan doesn't do any of that. So I don't know. Are we going down the same road we were last year? This is going to be a hell of a long season if that's what we're doing here. Again, I asked on Twitter, if Jim Boylan starts out 5-19 like Fred Hoiberg did, or maybe 6-14, because I did put out the next 15 games a couple of days ago, talking about Bulls will have 20 games played December 1st. What will the Bulls record be? October 30th, I put out Bulls' next 15 games. What is their record on December 1st? Detroit twice, at Indiana, versus the Lakers, Hawks, Rockets, Knicks, the Bucks twice, the Nets, the Heat, the Hornets, Trailblazers twice, and then the Warriors. What is the Bulls' record on December 1st? I said, honestly, I think they're going to be 6-14. Bulls have already dropped. They picked up a win against Detroit. They dropped a game against Indiana and dropped a game against the Lakers. They're 1-2 so far during this 15-game stretch. They've got Atlanta tonight, but then they've got the Rockets, Knicks, and Bucks. Some people are on here saying that they're going to be 5-15, 3-17, 1-19. Obviously, they can't be 1-19 now because they picked up their second win against Detroit. But still, I have two big questions. If this continues and the Bulls are as bad as they are going into December 1st, there's three biggest questions. What is the Bulls front office going to do to justify this? Especially because the team is fully healthy. You don't have any excuses now. Where does the fan base go in terms of how they feel about this rebuild? How do you guys feel about this rebuild now if the Bulls continue down this path and we're sitting in the first week of December and this team is just as bad as they were last year? You think the Bulls front office is going to fire Jim Boylan? I don't think so. He's a guy that will follow the orders. He's a guy that will listen to John Paxson and Gar Foreman and Jerry Reinsdorf and Michael Reinsdorf. He's a guy that will do whatever they want him to do. So I don't see Jim Boylan going anywhere. So what do you do then? You start trading pieces on this team? What do the Bulls do? Or do they just sit back like they did last year and say, this is what we decided to do. We're doing this rebuild. We're going to do it right. And we don't care how long it takes. And this is what we're doing. We're developing guys. We're trying to develop guys. And we're also trying to win at the same time. And that was Jim Boylan's thing the other night. He was like, it's very difficult to try to develop and win games at the same time. I agree with him. And I don't know if that's necessarily, you know, giving himself an excuse or just saying, hey, look, I'm being asked to do two things at once here, and this team isn't equipped to be able to do that. So you can see some clear frustration in Jim Boylan when he says things like that, but still, what are we doing here? Again, it goes back to the Bulls never tell us what the plan is. Never, never. We get one thing and see the other. Bulls are playoff team. Bulls are 2-6 to start the season. What's the justification now? If the Bulls end up one of the bottom five, one of the bottom seven teams in the NBA again this season, what's the justification there for anybody to continue to pay attention to this team? I don't understand it. And again, it's crazy. It's coming off a game the Bulls should have won against one of the best teams in the West right now. If the Bulls would have pulled that off, like it's so bizarre. A few different moves in each one of these games and the Bulls could, hell, they could be 6-2 right now. But again, like I said, you look at glass half empty, the Bulls could be 0-8 right now too. There's plenty of arguments to be made on both sides. But again, it just goes back to, what is Jim Boylan going to do to spark something in these guys? And we'll see, I guess, tonight against Atlanta. That's all I have, guys. I don't want to make this too long. Again, thanks for listening to the quick recap. Give me your frustration. I want to hear from you guys. And again, I'm sure with whatever goes on tonight against Atlanta, we will find out. But drop your text in your voicemails, 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up again, 331-979-1369. Our text and voicemail line has been flooded over the last 24 hours. So hit us up with your reaction. We'll get to all of that later in the week. Matt is out of town, so I may have a guest or two here at the end of the week too, to kind of fill in while Matt is gone and just talk about all that is going on in the first couple of weeks of Bulls basketball. So we'll have plenty of episodes throughout the rest of the week and some guests and surprises along the way. Again, right after you listen to this, go ahead and listen to that mailbag episode Matt and I did and we recorded yesterday. That'll be dropped shortly after this one. So by the time you're listening to this right now, that other episode should be in your inbox, should be in your favorite podcast provider's app, whether that's iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you get podcasts, you'll be sure to get us there. So make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Bulls, as well as subscribe to every other Chicago show on the Locked On Podcast Network. That's Locked On Blackhawks with Jay Zawoski, Locked On White Sox with Herb Lawrence, Locked On Bears with Lauren Cox, or Locked On Cubs with Sean Sears. From Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation, have a wonderful night. Hopefully this Hawks game is a lot different, but we'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and my partner, Matt Peck, we are out of here. Have a great night. See you tomorrow.
And we're going to have a bench here in Chicago, and I'm going to keep coaching it.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com